In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today.
I'm looking at the Acts of the Apostles, the 18th chapter, the 24th verse. A certain Jew named Apollos, born in Alexandria, he was an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, and he came from Ephesus. So he was mighty in the Old Testament, mighty in the Scriptures. He was eloquent. It was wonderful. When people heard him, they would say, "My Lord, what a preacher he is." This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spoke and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. So he's eloquent in the Scriptures, proving that Jesus is the Messiah. He takes the 53rd chapter of Isaiah and he relates it to Jesus' crucifixion and death and resurrection. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla, remember these are the two people that were tent makers with Paul, had heard, they took him under their wing and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. What do you think they did? They not only baptized him, but they also talked about the power of the Holy Spirit, and they prayed with him that his eloquence would touch the hearts of people. I tell you, we have preachers listening to me that are eloquent, far more eloquent than me. But I'm telling you, it's not eloquence that touches the heart of people. It's the Spirit of God. That's why we all need that baptism of the Holy Spirit. You say, "I don't believe in it." Well, I'm very sorry if you don't believe in it. It's true anyway. Your believing in it or not believing it doesn't make it true. It is true because it's true. They expounded unto this man, Apollos, the way of God more perfectly. You shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and throughout all the ends of the earth. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive Apollos, who when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he convinced the Jews, and that publicly showing by the Scriptures that Jesus was the Messiah. I'll tell you that this had more power than before, because now he has the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's got that river flowing within him. He's got that glory in him, the speaking the things of the Word of God, pointing to Jesus in the Psalms, pointing to Jesus in Isaiah, pointing to Jesus in Hosea. I'm talking, this man became not only eloquent, but he was powerful. You see, you can be eloquent and not powerful. As a matter of fact, some people are so eloquent that the people don't know what you're talking about. One lady came up to me and said, "You know, Father Tom, I knew exactly what you're talking about. You speak in our language." I said, "Well, we all speak English." She said, "No, you don't understand. I understood that where she goes, they start talking theology, and they don't know any more than Mickey Mouse, but they're talking theology rather than the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." She said, "I understand you." Well, thank you, God. They came back this week, and they brought me pasta from Italy. Yes, not that I asked for anything, and they brought me herbs, and they brought me cookies. I'll tell you, this is amazing. You see, it's all because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes when we just surrender to Jesus and ask for that great baptism of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 19, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth," so Apollos went to Corinth, "Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and he found certain disciples. He said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost when you believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much heard whether there is a Holy Spirit, a Holy Ghost. I tell you, in most places they have no idea who the Holy Spirit is. They have no idea who they bless themselves in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, but they have no idea who the Holy Spirit is. But I tell you, the Holy Spirit is the Comforter. The Holy Spirit tells us the things of God. The Holy Spirit reminds us of what Jesus said. The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. And the Holy Spirit works in power. P-O-W-E-R. You shall receive dynamos, dynamite, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So they didn't even know that there was a Holy Spirit. And he said unto them, how were you baptized? And they said, with the baptism of John. Then Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him whom was to come, that is Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Spirit came on them. How did he know it? Because they start speaking in tongues and prophesying. I'm telling you, it's Pentecost. The Holy Spirit makes Pentecost real. You know, I love the very window in the Vatican in the middle. It has a beautiful, beautiful Holy Spirit pouring out the gifts of the Spirit. It's beautiful at the Vatican. It's wonderful at St. Peter's. But I think even more wonderful is when a person receives the Holy Spirit, when a person experiences the power of the Holy Spirit, when the person starts prophesying and speaking in other languages. I'm telling you, this is real. I'm not talking ragtime. This is real. So you might be an eloquent preacher, but you don't preach with power. You need the power of the Holy Spirit. And how do we get it? Your fathers among you know how to give good gifts to your children. If they ask you for a loaf of bread, you're not going to give them a stone. If they ask you for a fish, you're not going to give them a scorpion. How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Oh, much more. Father, we ask you for the Holy Spirit. We ask that the Spirit of God would come upon us, just as it did with the people in Ephesus. Unfortunately, most people don't even know there is a Holy Spirit. Most people don't even know that there is power in the ministry. I tell you, a man came to me yesterday and told me, you know, my friend came with his wife who had cancer, and you asked him to lay his hand upon her back, and my Lord healed that woman as we prayed. Isn't that amazing? Like, I didn't know that. I don't ever find out these things until years later. Until years later, I find out that God healed that woman. It would be very nice if people would come back and tell us, because it really encourages us to pray with power. Last week, Jean was at Mass with us. Jean has been cancer-free for 8 years. She was told to wrap up her life because she had 3 months to live. But I'm telling you, this is 8 years later because of the power of the Holy Spirit. I know that. It's all about the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit always leads us to Jesus. I remember having a teacher in theology school, and he said, Tom, calling me Tom, Tom is a spiritual, is into the Spirit. And I said to the person, my friend, if you have the Holy Spirit, you're going to glorify Jesus. I am Christocentric. I am not Spirit-centric. But I'm telling you, without the power of the Holy Spirit, I wasn't and am not able to do very many things. And what happens now? And he went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. And when divers were hardened and believed not, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of the Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jew and Greek. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul. Miracles. Miracles through the Holy Spirit. So that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. So there was so much power in Paul. By the power of the Spirit, he would pray over handkerchiefs and aprons, and people would get better. I'm telling you, God uses things like that still. So I remember one person bringing to me handkerchiefs that they would lay upon their sick relative. And you know, I hope I put them on the altar first, because the altar is the place where the Eucharist is celebrated. I'm telling you, the Eucharist is a sacrifice because there is an altar. And let me tell you, I don't know what happened with that person or those people, but I know I blessed those aprons and those handkerchiefs for the sick, that God would heal them. I also remember calling someone on the phone. I had people call somebody on the phone, and people were healed via the phone. I'm telling you, it's all the power of the Holy Spirit. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, "We adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preaches." And there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so also. And the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. I tell you, you don't fool around with the Holy Spirit. You don't buy him. He's not to be bought. It's for the hungry. It's for the thirsty. It's for those in need. I need the Holy Spirit. I remember being in front of the Blessed Sacrament, and the Lord was speaking to me, and I said to him, "You can have my life." And when I said that, he broke a river in my being. And guess what started to happen? I started proclaiming Jesus over and over to people that I had. People at school, the children at school, I kept on proclaiming Jesus and proclaiming miracles, that Jesus does miracles. And you know what he does? He does miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit. He does miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leapt on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. And this was known to all the Jews and the Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all. And the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. If you can't get them with power, you get them with fear. My Lord, I don't want to fear people into the arms of Jesus. I don't like to use fear tactics. I just want to say to people that God is waiting for you. Jesus is waiting for you. He's waiting that you would surrender your life to him. He's waiting that you would give him your life. God is waiting for you. What are you waiting for? Your life is a mess at this point. God wants to do something in the power of the Spirit. Why are you hesitant? Why are you hesitant? There is no need to be hesitant. The Lord has something in store for you, and holy is his name. And many that believed came and confessed and showed their deeds. Many of them also, which used curious arts, brought their books together and burned them before all men. And they counted the price of them, and found it to be 50,000 pieces of silver. Let me tell you, there's a lot of books on the occult that are being sold today, and people who supposedly be Christians are using those books, because you know what? They do not know the power of the Holy Spirit. So what do? They delve into other spirits. And let me tell you, the evil spirit comes to kill, steal, and destroy. You know, I saw a sign yesterday, advisor, all right, that's Madame Fufu. You know her telephone number, the one that reads people's palms? 1-800-GO-TO-HELL. because she doesn't even know that she's on the way to hell, and she's bringing people on the way to hell because they're going to get their fortunes read. I tell you, I won't even open a cookie from a Chinese restaurant. And I know that's all fun. I know. But you know what? I don't need to have anyone tell me my future. I know who holds my future, and his name is Jesus. And he holds my future in his heart. And I don't have to be worrying about anybody or anything. And it's just like that. It's just like that. It's just like that. So let me continue. So mightily grew the word of God, and it prevailed. After these things were ended, Paul purposed in the Spirit, when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I have been there, I must also see Rome. So he sent into Macedonia two of them that ministered unto them, that's to the Philippians, Timothy and Erastus, but he himself stayed in Asia for a season. And the same time there arose no small stir about the way, for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith, which made silver shrines for Diana, brought no small gain unto the craftsmen. So this guy's into making demons, really. First, Diana, the god of maybe the god of the Greeks, whom he called together with the workmen of a like occupation, and said, sirs, you know that by this craft we have got our wealth. We got their wealth by making statues of Diana. Moreover, you see and hear that not alone at Ephesus, but also throughout Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned away many people, saying that they be no gods at all, which are made with human hands. So Paul is telling people there are no gods made by human hands, so that not only this our craft is being in danger to be set at naught, but also that the temple of the great goddess Diana should be despised and her magnificence should be destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worships. You know, the guy's really worried about money. We're not getting money like we used to. You know why? Because he's destroying the artifacts of Diana. He's destroying them. He wants none of them to buy Diana. It's only made with human hands. So the guy is lost money. And he says, you know, and it's also because of the beautiful Diana. No, it's not about the beautiful Diana. It's about filthy lucre. The love of money is the root of all evil. The scripture does not say money is the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. And this man is into his craft, making statues of the goddess Diana, and now no one's buying his statues. Why? Because they're hearing the gospel being proclaimed that Jesus Christ is Lord. And when they heard these sayings, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. And the whole city was filled with confusion. And having caught Gaius and Aristarchus, men of Macedonia, Paul's companions in travel, they rushed with one accord into the theater. And when Paul would have entered unto the people, the disciples suffered him not. And certain of the chief priests, the chief of Asia, which were his friends, sent them, desiring him that he would not adventure himself into the theater. Some therefore cried out one thing, and some another, for the assembly was confused, and the more part knew not where they were all come together. And they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward, and Alexander beckoned with the hand, and would have made his defense unto the people. But when they knew that he was a Jew, all with one voice, about the space of 2 hours, they cried out, great is Diana of the Ephesians, I tell you. Very sad, very sad. Again, it's all about money. It's all about money. And you know what? I think that the church needs to learn that our money comes from the people because the people are being fed. I think it is for the church to learn that we do not need to have bingo or card parties or anything else. We just need to teach the people how to give, that it is a blessing to give. And when we give, oh God, gives to us, pressed down, shaken together, running over into the folds of our clothes. I tell you, people need to hear how important it is to give. And they don't hear that. They don't hear that. People say, you know, Catholics are always asking for money. They are not. Catholics are afraid to tell people we need to have faith, so we begin to tithe our money. 10% goes to the Lord off the top. We don't say things like that. People, you know, people bring George Washington and they put it in the box. $1. What's $1? When I was in 1968, I think I put $5 in 1968 before I was a priest. And you know what? $5 was $5 in 1968. But today, $5 is nothing. $5, you cannot. As a matter of fact, I had a last week, I had a hankering for an ice cream cone. I wanted a large one, a large chocolate soft serve. You know how much it cost me? $4.28 for one ice cream cone. Mamma mia. I said, never again. Even though I enjoyed it, never again. $5 for an ice cream cone? You got to be kidding. But people will put $5 in the box. $1 in the box. And what does that mean? You can't even get an ice cream cone with it. You don't have the ability to do anything because God wants to tithe us, to tithe our money. And when the town clerk had appeased the people, he said, "You men of Ephesus, what man is there that knows not how this city of the Ephesians is a worshiper of the great goddess Diana, and of the image which fell down from Jupiter? Seeing then that these things cannot be spoken against, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. For you have brought hither these men, which are neither robbers of churches nor blasphemers of your goddess. Wherefore, if Demetrius and the craftsmen which are with him have a matter against the man, the law is open, and there are disputes, let them plead one another." In other words, if you've got a problem with these people, bring them to court. Bring them to court. "And if you inquire for things concerning other matters, it shall be determined in a lawful assembly. For we are in the days to be called to question, for the day's uproar being no cause whereby we may give an account of this concourse." And when he had thus spoken, he dismissed the assembly. Let me tell you, my friends, the whole point of breaking down Diana, that the man wanted money. Diana kept him in money, kept his family fed. But it wasn't Diana, it was the false goddess of Diana of the Ephesians. And then when people come in and say, you know, there are no gods, there are no goddesses, there's only one God, well, I wanted to kill these people. But they said, no, bring them to the courts. Bring them to the courts. Okay, I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the Word of God. I want to keep on proclaiming the Holy Spirit, because without the Holy Spirit, nothing happens. Nothing happens. Without the Holy Spirit, nothing happens. And you know what? We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Spirit of Jesus, that we would be able to just do the things that God told us to do. We need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. And you know, that great baptism of the Spirit comes when we are thirsty. When we are thirsty. And are you thirsty enough for Jesus and for His Holy Spirit? You only need to pray, "Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, I thirst. 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 Again, I thank you for listening. I'm on every day at this time proclaiming the good news of salvation in the name of Jesus. We remember that the great preacher who was found, Apollos, born at Alexandria, he was eloquent. And you know what? Priscilla and Aquila, the tent makers, took him to their home and expounded unto them the way of God more perfectly. In other words, they received the Holy Spirit. And the same thing happened in Corinth when Apollos was in Ephesus, having passed through the upper coast of Ephesus, finding certain disciples. Have you received the Holy Spirit when you believe? They said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, many people in the church don't even know who the Holy Spirit is. So may the Lord be praised. I need to hear from you so we can pay our bills. Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. That's Father Tom, Post Office Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass., 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.